A little motley crew to open up a podcast. Never hurt anybody. Write that down. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Firestorm here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenball, and I'm excited to be here because Drew Brees is back in the house to talk about the 38-17 drubbing he and the Saints put on the New England Patriots this past Monday night. We're going to break down a big play from the game, talk about the possibility of going 16-0, and touch on the concussion topic, which has really been heating up around the NFL right now, especially with quarterbacks Kurt Warner and Ben Roethlisberger sitting out this past week due to head injuries they sustained in Week 11. But enough of me and my annoying voice for the time being, because one of the league's nastiest quarterbacks is here today. Without further ado, let's welcome back to the Firestorm Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Drew, thanks for stopping by. How's it going today, my man?
It's going good.
Good to hear, good to hear. Well, you and the Saints won again on Monday night and are now 11-0 after busting up the New England Patriots 38-17. With the way you guys have been playing this year, there had been some moderate talk about a possible undefeated season and Super Bowl win, but now that you took down one of the best teams in the league in front of the entire world on primetime television, the talk is about to get a lot louder. As a quarterback and team captain, what is the key to staying focused, and do you feel any pressure to go 16-0?
No, we don't. It's just one game at a time, and that's all we're thinking about. And I think if you just stay with that philosophy, then things will work out for you. You know, that way you don't overlook anything. You continue to focus on getting better each week. Focus on the fundamentals. And obviously, just because we beat the Patriots or just because we are 11-0, it doesn't entitle us to anything moving forward. All it does is just give us an opportunity to go out the next week and continue that streak. So that's all we're thinking about.
I think there was more of a frenzy about going undefeated a few years ago. Do you think some of the magic from 16-0 has been erased after the Patriots went undefeated and then lost the Super Bowl to the Giants? And is that proof that winning the big one is really what is most significant?
Well, I mean, obviously, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. And however you can get to that game and have that opportunity then to win that championship is really what counts. Now, what the Patriots accomplished 2 years ago was unbelievable. They were 18-0 at one point, having won every game in the regular season and then the first two playoff games in order to get to the Super Bowl. And obviously it was a great comeback effort by the Giants that kept them from going 19-0. But really, in essence, they were one play away from being 19-0 and going down as one of the greatest teams, if not the greatest team in the history of the NFL. So, I think we all have a lot of respect for that and just understand how difficult that is. I feel like our team and the way that we're playing and, our focus level and, just the attitude that we come to work with each week, we have a great opportunity ahead of us, and I'm excited to be a part of this team and, just take them one at a time.
Not to take anything away from what you did on Monday night, which was nothing short of spectacular, as you threw for 371 yards and 5 touchdowns while completing 78% of your passes. But watching the job your defense did on Tom Brady and the Patriots, is that maybe the most impressive thing that you guys take out of this victory, especially since you had Mike McKenzie and Chris McAllister playing in their first games of the season?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The fact that those two guys were literally we signed off the street, Chris McAllister less than 2 weeks ago and Mike McKenzie just this week. And all of a sudden they go out there and pretty much play the whole game, due to injuries at the corner position. We brought them in and they've just done a stellar job. I mean, they're veteran corners who have played a lot of football and, they have the ability to step in and play that position at a high level, even in a defense where, obviously, can be complicated at times, and you're kind of learning on the run, but yet those guys played extremely well.
Through 11 games, you are completing 68.8% of your passes, which is fourth in the league behind Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Ben Roethlisberger. The NFL record for completion percentage in a season is 70.5%, which was done by Ken Anderson of the Cincinnati Bengals back in 1982. John Gruden was speaking last night about the ability you have to fit the football in the smallest of windows down the field. What is it that you do or work on that makes you such an accurate passer?
I don't know. You know, it's confidence in the guys I'm throwing, and foremost. You're having confidence in those guys and just knowing that, hey, I can attempt to throw the ball in tight areas or, you know, throw it up high and give them opportunities to make plays that maybe other guys wouldn't have the ability to make. And, you know, that takes a lot of time and effort, you know, working on those things together in the off season. And I've had a lot of time with my receivers, you know, those guys. And so we've been able to build that rapport. But also, you know, the offensive line doing the job that they're doing up front, you know, and having confidence and knowing that they're giving you time to throw, that you know, you have the ability to step up and deliver the ball down the field. I mean, it's a combination of everybody.
Do you feel like you're still improving as a quarterback? And if so, what is it that you have gotten better at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to improve. I think the just efficiency and the way that, you know, you play the game, you know, on all levels. That when I say efficiency, I'm talking about, you know, managing situations perfectly, you know, managing the clock perfectly, you know, delivering the ball accurately and on time and putting your receivers in a position to succeed by, you know, your ball placement and just the your ability to manage the game and manage certain situations and know when it's time to take a chance and know when it's time to, you know, maybe kind of, you know, throw the ball away or take a sack or, you know, pump the ball away and just understand that, you know, at times you got to play the field position game. I mean, there's a lot of kind of things that go into playing the quarterback position, but a lot of it's just about managing the game and being efficient.
Watching on TV, you could tell the Superdome was rocking on Monday night, but it's far different sitting in your living room and listening to the crowd than it is actually being at the stadium. How loud was it there on Monday compared to other games you have played? And have you ever played on the road in a stadium that's louder than the Superdome was last night when the opposing offense was on the field?
No, I mean, it was nuts. It was so loud. And you know, I might not even appreciate the extent of how loud it is just because I'm not out there on the field when it's that loud. You know, I'm always on the sideline, you know, because obviously when it gets loud is when our defense is out there and the opposing offense is out there. So our defensive guys could probably answer to it even better because they're the ones who kind of have to communicate and do some things out there when it's that loud. But, I mean, can't imagine as an opposing quarterback having to go into an atmosphere like that where, you know, it's just you absolutely cannot hear. There's so many aspects of communication that go into, you know, plays on offense that, you know, it definitely serves the home field advantage.
Speaking to that, when you're playing on the road and stadiums tend to try to get that loud, what do you do differently to be able to communicate with your offensive line so that guys aren't jumping off sides and everyone's, you know, handling the right assignments?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, silent count and that kind of thing with the offensive line, you know, signals with receivers, just little kind of tidbits that you kind of go through that, you know, ways to communicate and different things. But, you know, we've got a pretty good system now, and, you know, we're probably going to need that this week, most definitely up in Washington when we have to go play the Redskins on the road.
Running back Pierre Thomas is an interesting story. He came out of Illinois with almost no buzz. He's a Chicago kid who went undrafted. Can you talk about how you've seen him mature and develop as a player? And when was it that you looked at him and said, this guy could be a legitimate NFL running back?
Yeah, I mean, probably midway through his rookie year, or maybe even, you know, late training camp of his rookie year. You know, he just so impressive. I mean, you know, when we brought him in as an undrafted free agent, you know, for him to make the team was nearly impossible just because we had, you know, four running backs at the time. One of them we had drafted pretty high that year, Antonio Pittman out of Ohio State, and you just felt like, man, this guy's never going to get an opportunity. But, I mean, he took advantage of every single chance that he got throughout that preseason and really made the team as a special teamer, as a special teams guy, and then gradually worked his way into the lineup at running back because of injuries. You know, he had three injuries, so we're down to him at the end of the season. And I recall his first start was against Chicago, in Chicago, last game of the season, 2007. And he rushed for over 100 yards and had over 100 yards receiving as well, which is the first time that's happened for a Saints running back in forever. And so basically he started off his career with the Saints by breaking records and I mean, the guy is just, he works extremely hard. He's tough. He's smart. And he's my kind of football player, and he's just what we need at that position.
Damn, that's a hell of a memory you have from that 2 years ago. So many big plays from Monday night's game. Let's go inside the huddle right now with Drew, where he's going to break down one of his five touchdown passes for our listeners. You can check out a video of the play Drew and I are about to discuss by clicking on the link inside of this article right underneath the podcast. Today's play takes us to the second quarter with the Saints leading 17-10. It's first and 10 on the New England 38 with 1:57 remaining in the half when you hit wide receiver Robert Meacham for a 38-yard touchdown to move the score to 24-10 Saints. Tell us how this play developed and what you saw coming out of the huddle.
Well, you know, this was a shot play, obviously, where, you know, we're going to kind of show heavy play action with a running back, and kind of I roll out to my right, so it kind of looks like a bootleg, but really it's just trying to kind of move the pocket and set up in a different location, kind of buy some time. In the meantime, Robert Meacham is running basically a post down the middle of the field, and Jeremy Shockey is running a kind of a deep drag across the field, and the thought is, you know, the free safety is now in a position where he either needs to stay deep with the post, or when he feels the drag coming across the field, his tendency is to want to be aggressive and jump on that. And so I had a feeling that that's what was going to happen. And sure enough, he sees Shockey coming across the field. He just can't help himself. He plays low on Shockey, and here's Meacham running right in behind him on that post route. And felt like the corner did a pretty good job of getting over the top and attempting to cover it, but Meacham's speed eventually will overtake you. And, you know, we're able to put the ball out in front of him and let him go get it, and he made a great play.
Yeah, Meacham's been blowing up lately. He's got 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games. Drew, one last question before we let you go. Concussions in the NFL have been a very hot topic over the past few months, which has been fueled even more by several big-name players who have been taking some violent shots over the past few weeks. Cardinals quarterback Kurt Warner and Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger both missed their Week 12 games due to head injuries sustained in Week 11. Warner went so far today as to say that players sometimes stretch the truth regarding the symptoms they are experiencing. Quote, that's the whole key with this issue. I can tell you I wrestled with it when I was going down to that room to talk to them, saying, do I want to stretch the truth a little bit? Do I not want to tell them everything so I can play? Because I know I could dictate that. End quote. Do you see this becoming more of an issue with the players of the NFL today, that we are leaning towards a league where players lie about head injuries to stay on the field and put their own health at risk in the process?
Well, I think there's just a toughness thing that guys are not used to pulling themselves out of games, you know, and so many guys, I think, too, are, you know, not 100% sure as to what's a concussion and what's not a concussion, or what could cause damage and what, you know, won't cause damage. Because typically in football, obviously, it's a very physical sport. You're getting hit a lot with your head. Either you're the hitter or the hittee. And so you get your bell rung, and, or you get, you know, you kind of wait, you know, kind of get up after a hit and you're dizzy and that kind of thing. And like, what does that constitute? I think a lot of guys look at that and say, yeah, I just got dinged, or I just got a little dizzy. Whereas I think if you were to ask a doctor, they would say, well, that's a borderline concussion. Whereas a football player would tell you that's just playing football. So I think that's kind of the line that, you know, there's a lot of gray area as to how severe some of those things are. And so, you know, it's one of those things that is definitely very serious, just because of the long-term effects of those that get repeated concussions. Unfortunately, I know a lot of the ones recently that have happened, especially the one big, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and even Brian Westbrook with the Eagles, are just taking knees to the head. You know, unintentional. It's not like it's, you know, head-to-head hit in the pocket or anything like that. It's these guys just going down and they kind of getting the scrum, and all of a sudden they just take a knee to the head by accident. But obviously that's a pretty damaging hit. So it's one of those things that I know the NFL is very conscious of, as is the NFL Players Association. We're doing as much as we can to really get the long-term studies on these issues, and then make sure that guys are put in the safest positions possible.
Drew, as always, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, and keep doing what you've been doing because it sure has been fun to watch.
Thank you.
You got it. That was quarterback Drew Brees of the 11-0 New Orleans Saints, who you can follow on Twitter under the name Drew Brees, which is all one word. Well, that about wraps up this edition of the Fantasy Firestorm here at the National Football Post. For Drew Brees, I'm Joe Fortenball. Enjoy the Bills-Jets game on Thursday night, and we'll see you next time.